Welcome to the Work, Wealth, and Travel Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole, and this podcast is your guide to start creating a lifestyle by design. From entrepreneurship, money and finance, taxes and residencies, and everything in between, this show highlights the nuances of a true global citizen lifestyle. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Work, Wealth, and Travel Podcast. Today's episode is amazing if you are entrepreneurial at heart, which if you are listening, I know that you are, and if you are interested in buying digital real estate. So on the show today is Matt Rad. He has defied convention and achieved financial freedom through quite a unique path. Starting with nothing, he built a high cash flow portfolio by buying and selling businesses online. Today, he is a recognized authority in website investments using digital assets to generate his wealth. As a pioneer in this field, he was among the first to explore the potential of buying, building, and renovating websites. He now teaches beginners how to reach six and seven-figure incomes using this very strategy. With a journey spanning 27 years, Matt shares his insights into his success as an entrepreneur and a digital investor. From his beginnings as a zoologist to buying and expanding businesses, he has made multi-million dollar mergers and acquisitions. He successfully transitioned to the digital world and now focuses on helping people achieve financial independence through leveraged, high cash flow, and independent, location-independent digital skills. This is not an episode you want to miss. Matt really does dive into the good stuff. He gives you value to actually take action today, right after you finish listening. So let's dive right into it. Matt, welcome to the Work, Wealth, and Travel Podcast. I'm very much so looking forward to our conversation today for a few different reasons. But before we get into it, please tell us how you got started in this industry and your experience as a website investor and what that journey has looked like for you.
Well, Nicole, it's quite a long story, but basically the whole reason where it started, I think, and this might be relevant to your listeners, is as a kid and then as a young adult, I was obsessed with being able to make money, but particularly, you know, let's face it, become financially independent. That was always my goal because I grew up very poor with hardly anything. And I went on this big journey in life. I'm in my 50s now. But when I first started out, I figured out very quickly that business was the way to do it. I realized I wasn't ever going to earn the sort of money that I wanted to earn in a normal job. I saw my parents and particularly my grandparents who helped raise me, you know, the very working class. So that's where it all kicked off. And as soon as I got an opportunity and when I met my beautiful wife, Liz, she's from a different background. But both of us grew up in rural Australia on farms. But she wanted time independence rather than financial independence. So when we got together, she was on board with this idea of getting into business and we bought our first business. And then, as they say, the rest is history. It was a long journey. We learned a lot. It didn't all go swimmingly well, but gosh, we made it in the end. And so we actually started out buying and selling. We got so good with business. We bought and sold traditional bricks and mortar businesses. But these days, of course, we've transitioned fully over to online businesses, which are way better, especially for your listeners if they're traveling around the world and living on a laptop. That's the thing that excites us. It was like nirvana for us when we figured that bit out.
Okay, interesting. Thank you for sharing that. I want to dive into that a little bit deeper. So what did the journey to, you said you started out as brick and mortar, but what did the journey to acquiring or starting a business online look like and how, I guess that turned out pretty positive for you, but what did that look like from the beginning until now?
So that really good question. So we started buying online businesses before any of the brokers were around. We started in the GFC around 2008. And what we did was actually Liz, she came up with the idea. We were just learning about the internet, both Liz and I, and we realized online businesses were the way to do it. So we were trying to hand build websites. And back then, Nicole, you guys, you're way too young to remember this, but we actually had to use code, like HTML. We used it. There was a program back then, I think that Liz used, called Dreamweaver. And it was really difficult to build websites. And so one day Liz just said, what are we doing, Matt? Why don't we do what we've always done? Why don't we just buy these existing online businesses? They're already set up. They're already making money. That's the whole reason we used to buy and sell bricks and mortar businesses. We're really good at it. We've just got to learn the technical side, the IT side, and how the online space works. That's it. So literally our first, what we did, there was no known way of buying. We're in Australia, rural Australia. We're trying to figure out how do we buy these sites in America, because they're all based in America, they're .coms. And we just started doing what we've always done, which is door knocking, except it was virtual. So we would just send out emails, get on Skype. Back then it was Skype. And we would individually email website owners and say, hey, we're interested in getting into this niche. Would you be interested in selling your website? And that's how we did it. And you want to know something funny, Nicole? Actually, our very first website, this is how unsophisticated it was back then. Liz found it on eBay. And she said to the seller, why are you listing it on eBay? And he said, the same reason you're looking for it on eBay. Where the hell do we sell websites? So that's all he could figure out. So I do not recommend you buy websites off eBay these days. But that's literally where we started.
Okay, interesting. So I know we've definitely progressed past eBay at this point. Yes. I know that there are some larger companies, I think, in the space, like Empire Flippers or something along that line comes to mind. So how is what you do similar? You will broker websites, or do you create the websites from scratch and then you sell them? What does that look like now?
We buy and sell. So we use all those platforms. We don't get involved in, we've got nothing to do with, we made a very conscious decision many years ago to not become brokers, because we're already experts in buying and selling bricks and mortar businesses. And we were brokers in that space as well. We were involved in mergers and acquisitions and stuff. But when we got online, it was kind of like a whole new phase in life. And it worked so well. We made so much money that we just said, no, we're not going back to brokering. And so we just buy and sell. And what we do is we actually, they call it website flipping, like how real estate investors will flip websites, properties. But for us, we actually bought and hold. We're big followers of Warren Buffett and we like long-term investing. So these are cash cow machines. So literally, like one of our favorite deals that we did in the early days, we bought a website for $19,000. And it was making around $3,000 a month. It was making $1,000 a month net. And within a few weeks, we'd got it up to making $3,000 a month. And then we grew it, pardon me, to around $7,000 a month net. And so we thought, why would we sell that? Now, we did sell that after about 10 years to a big corporate. But it really opened our eyes to how when you find the right deals, you can quickly renovate them. So we call it, we renovate these sites and then we hold them for the cash flow. And we still to this day, so we will buy through all the website brokers like Flipper, Empire Flippers, Quiet Light, FE International, all that sort of stuff. But more so our strategy to this day, we're a little bit different to other people and we teach this to our clients. We find even in the early days, the best deals we were getting were direct approach. So we go through the Google SERPs, we look for neglected websites. When you know what you're doing, you can find neglected websites and then you send them an email and you strike up a conversation and then typically you say, look, I'm a cash buyer. Have you ever thought of selling your website? And then you do the negotiation and you buy it that way. But if you're starting out and you're listening to this, it is really smart to go through a broker. Now, the brokers have really good deals. It either strategy works. It's just that's what we've always done. But, we know all the top brokers, dealt with them for the last 15 years. They're awesome. The brokers are really good these days. It's not like it used to be.
Okay. So I'm curious on a high level, what does the process look like? How do you evaluate what makes sense to buy? Or do you have a specific requirements for what it looks like to buy? Are you buying specifically e-commerce? And I guess that could be more of a preference, but from there, what does that process actually look like to figure out if this is a good purchase?
Yeah, really good question. pardon me, we have very specific criteria. And we actually, Nicole, you just mentioned e-com, bad for us. We avoid that because our background is buying and selling manufacturing and wholesale businesses. And when we discovered what I call nirvana in business models, which is buying and selling online businesses, we realized we don't have to deal with businesses anymore with physical inventory. So as a young entrepreneur, if you're listening to this and, you know, I'm presuming your listeners are probably a bit younger than me, or even if you're starting out as a side hustle, from all the business sales that I've been involved in, I've done, you know, been involved in thousands of business deals, all my friends are very successful entrepreneurs. I tell you, the one thing that holds you back when you're a young entrepreneur is having to constantly reinvest money into physical inventory. And it's a very high risk to a degree, because if you can't sell that inventory, that's money sitting on a warehouse somewhere, you know, typically in an industrial area. And it's very complex to manage the cash flows of those when you're starting out in business. So coming back to your original question, that's why when we got online, all we ever do and all we've ever done with online businesses is advertising websites. That's it, advertising and affiliate. So literally the risk is quite low. Once you buy the website, okay, you've got to invest in it and fix it up and you've all that sort of stuff. But really, if we want to walk away from it, we can. It's not like we've got a warehouse full of inventory. We're not we don't have, gone are the days where we have, you know, stock coming across the oceans in containers and stuff like that, been there, done all that. That's pretty stressful. I don't recommend it. Our website models are very, very simple. We just look for passion sites, basically. So recipe sites, you know, people in crafting niches, people in pet niches, people in health niches, how to get fit type thing. Anything in the finance niche, as long as you don't need a financial license. And basically all we do is we buy those sites, we get eyeballs onto them, and if people click on an ad, we make money. So it's automated.
Okay,
The other big advantage that I'll point out for us that we realize, because we're quite isolated here in Australia, we're on the other side of the world from, so the big market, so we're used to in our manufacturing businesses, we would export to America and it's really tough to do. Now with these sorts of sites that I just described, we literally, while we're asleep, money goes into bank account, they work 24/7 and we've got access to a worldwide market, but in particular, we've got access to the full American market because there's no barriers with online businesses. So those advertising style businesses, and there's different models around that. Basically, we also sell information products or affiliate commissions, but literally the model still revolves around essentially just getting eyeballs, people coming to the site, following you. If you can do that, you can always make money.
Okay, so my question with that, I'm curious, is most of the revenue coming in through ad networks like an Azoic or a Mediavine? And then riding on top of that, do you really have to understand and be somewhat of an SEO expert in order to maintain and grow the website?
Yes. So that's the key skill. So really good question. So in terms of the ad networks, especially in recent times, we don't outright recommend the ad networks. They can be a bit spammy sometimes, but like making money off ads is kind of 101 stuff. There's a lot more you can do there, but essentially you did touch on something super, super important. It's what we teach to all our clients is SEO. So search engine optimization. Now there's challenges with that. These are businesses. If you're listening to this, businesses are risky. Okay. They're not as passive as what they used to be. You've got to work on them. But even simple sites, if you know what you're doing and you're buying websites, particularly in the due diligence process, now there's ways that you can renovate websites that aren't as reliant on SEO these days. And that's where the new money is going to be made, I believe. The world is changing a lot. There's some massive opportunities out there at the moment with all the changes because of AI and the way Google now has to deal with that, the way Google is changing all the search engines. There's huge, like anything in life, those who are informed and have the knowledge will make the most money. And that's where, so what we've got, there's always been this challenge with online businesses, exactly the same as bricks and mortar businesses. Things go in waves. You know, it can be tough in business. But once you, what we've observed, and like looking at all our mentors in buying and selling businesses over the years, I think knowledge is king and there's massive opportunities. And what you've got to realize, websites are now very, very highly sought after assets, investment assets, because they are 24/7. They typically don't take much cash flow to keep them going. Once you get them dialed in, websites are stunningly amazing business models, without a doubt, particularly if you want financial independence or location independence. No, I have not seen a business that would come even close to it. And there's so many models out there. So whilst we start with the advertising, there's a lot more. There's a lot more that you can do, and that's where your world opens up when you know how to do due diligence. Because Nicole, it is fascinating looking at hundreds of website deals. It, like the hours just literally fly by. All our clients say that to us. They all start geeking out on it. Once you get into this, it's like, oh, I wish there were more hours in a day to check out websites. It is mind blowing what's out there.
I want to hear a little bit more about that, if you don't mind sharing. I think that would be really interesting. So, you know, when you're spending these hours on end that are flying by, what does some of that due diligence look like? What are some of these websites? What are you assessing on these websites? I'm super curious, a little bit behind the scenes of this process.
The only way this show grows is if you share the episodes you love and your key takeaways. If you've been loving this show, hit subscribe and leave a 5-star review with your favorite takeaways. We appreciate you, and let's get back into the episode.
Okay, so I've got two really cool examples. So Liz and I, we, believe it or not, we met studying zoology at uni, and which sounds bizarre, and we're experts in red kangaroos. So people always love this story. They always say, oh, do you have a red kangaroo website? No, but what we did buy was a pigeon racing website. And we know nothing about pigeons, but it was a very small site. I think it was, from memory, it was $7,000. And all it does is sell ebooks about how to race pigeons. We had no idea that niche even existed. But through doing due diligence, Liz did what's called keyword research. She could see, oh, wow, this is a massively followed niche. It's apparently pigeon racing is a massive thing. It's particularly big in Southeast Asia, but also in America. So Mike Tyson, everyone's probably heard of Mike Tyson. He's right into it. It's this huge, I don't know if you call it a sport. It's a huge thing though, pigeon racing. So following our own advice, Liz did the due diligence, and I said to her, you're never going to make that much money out of pigeon racing. Like, okay, there's an ebook. But anyway, she bought it, and I was completely wrong. I think it was making like $500 a month. She just renovated it, barely touched the site ever since, and to this day, it still makes $1,000 a month, selling a simple little ebook that we don't have to touch. It's $49, I think, downloadable. People pay that. We bundled in three of the ebooks that were on there, because when it came across, the previous owner had created all these amazing assets. So Liz bundled them together as a package and said, hey, for $49, so literally all she did was, he used to sell the product for, I think it was $19.95. Liz bundled the ebooks. So these are delivered electronically, all automatic. She bundled them together and just stuck the price to $49.95. And it worked. It doubled, and it's still on autopilot. So that's the sort of thing we're looking for. They're kind of these weird micro niches, but because we've got a worldwide marketplace, there's enough now of a funnel of people out there. We can reach people. It's not like the old days where you just had to talk to your friend about pigeon racing and literally, you know, it's difficult to get the message out. Now we can literally, on that website, we have people from all around the world. And Nicole, another really cool example, talking about this micro niche. Now, this is going to be relevant to your audience. We have two of our coaches here, Nathan and Alexa. They are laptop lifestylers. So they live, you know, in a country till their visa and then needs to be changed. And then they moved. You'd probably know about that more than me. And then they moved to the next country. And that's how they live their lives for the last, I think, since COVID. They left Australia from COVID, and all they do is exactly what I'm teaching. And here's a deal that they found. So they go for these micro niches. So these guys, you think about, they're living on a laptop, living in Thailand or in Europe or whatever. So they own a site on knitting. That makes them $4,000 a month. And they bought that for $4,000 and they fixed it up. So they have about two or three writers and they have a team that help them with the keyword research. So they've bought all these passion sites. They've got a couple of gardening sites. And when they were overseas, this is how the deal works. They do our strategy where they kind of, okay, they're on broker sites, but they're also doing private approaches because they know how all this works and they're making good money. They were in the gardening niche for one of the websites that they own, and they were looking for kind of SEO opportunities, but also looking to maybe buy a site. And they found a guy back in Australia who had this neglected site. He'd had it for 14 years. And they sent him an email because they were in, I think they're in Thailand or in Europe at the time. Sorry, they were in Europe. And it's a very niche site on native Australian gardening. So you think about that. 14 years old. The guy hadn't made any money out of it, but he was passionate. He just put all this really, he blogged about his native Australian gardening and how to do it. And he said, yeah, I don't want it anymore. And they bought it for $400. And now that site, I think we've just gone through summer here in Australia. In the on season, it gets over 80,000 people a month visiting that site. So Nathan and Alexa have fixed it up. They're not gardeners. You know, they're laptop lifestylers. They are now. They love gardening now after getting into it. But that site makes them $4,000 a month off ads and affiliate offers. And that's what we call a diamond in the rough. That's the gold. So if you own two or three sites like that, now please understand, if you're listening to this, it's not a walk in the park. You've got to learn a few things. But that's literally what they do. So they've now come back to Australia. They're going to start a family. And they've got these websites. They've got several websites like that in these really cool kind of, do you call them a tight niche, like a vertical niche, where they're typically passion sites. They've been run down, neglected. Because you think about someone like that gentleman there, he doesn't know how to make money online. After 14 years, what's he going to do? Yeah, give me $500, you can have it. And they got it for I think it was $450. So mind-blowing. Wow. And that's the sort of, now those are deals don't come every day, but if you're out there looking for them and once you know what you're doing, that's the sort of stuff that can, you know, be life-changing. That's why we love this. So for Nathan and Alexa, as their personal coach over these last almost 10 years now, you know, they're a young couple. They wanted financial independence. They used to try to do it through real estate. And I'm fine with real estate, but Liz and I, it's not our thing. We do business. And so from my point of view as their mentor, I said, well, websites are heaps safer for you guys. It allows you to go and travel. You can take a few risks, but it's not that bad. Whereas if you've got real estate and you're traveling around the world, how are you going to fund it? And you're sitting on here in Australia, you know, at least $500,000 to $1 million loan for a young person, young couple. That's a scary proposition, especially once you've maxed out with the banks, because they'd already done a few website flips. Real estate flips. That's what they started out, like a lot of young people, you know, renovating and flipping real estate. So for them, websites have worked really well for that situation. So that's basically how it can work.
Interesting. Okay. So I'm curious, the initial process to actually reach out to somebody, does that involve you getting really good at research and or cold email?
Well, the cold email is really simple. It's just one sentence. Say, hey, my name's Matt. I'm really interested in getting into your niche. I noticed, I saw your site. Have you ever been, would you ever consider selling it? That's really simple. Finding websites for sale these days, honestly, when you're learning, I recommend you go through the brokers, and particularly flipper.com. We recommend all our clients go there. We're not sponsored by them or anything like that. But the big advantage of Flipper when you're learning this is that you can actually buy good websites, or what's called, well, sites that you can learn on at least for under $5,000. Whereas you can't do that with normal bricks and mortar businesses. There is no chance you can buy a working business for under $5,000 or $10,000 but on Flipper you can. There's some really good data that sits there on Flipper now. And so if you combine that with our due diligence process, once you know what you're looking for, you can have Nicole, this is where our clients love. Yeah, you can spend a joyous weekend on Flipper just trawling through the deals, because you don't have to sign any non-disclosure agreements or anything. It's so cool. Once you've got a free account, You can just see all the data of the website. Now, if you're listening to this and you're brand new, do not buy websites off Flippa the first time you go on there because it looks very exciting. There are deals that you need to be doing due diligence. Don't believe everything you see. You've got to understand how websites work and do due diligence. But in my opinion, that's the easiest way to start out. That's how we get. So we're all about teaching beginners, total beginners, to do this. If someone's more advanced listening to this, once you've learned due diligence, then you can step it up to all the other brokers who are amazing. They pre-vet deals these days. That never used to happen. So what that means is they kind of pseudo do the due diligence for you. Again, you wouldn't rely on someone else's due diligence. But the cool thing is these days everything's tracked online. So it's not like the old days where it was a little bit Wild West. Now all the traffic's tracked. You can't fake it. The income is tracked to a degree. You can't fake it. There's still scams out there, but it's nothing like it used to be. And if you're working with a broker, especially once you get to $30,000 and above, those sorts of deals, they tend to, like I said, vet the deals with their brokers because they don't want to be selling scams. They get in trouble. So that, and that's the biggest drive in this industry now, is to make sure all the listings on these broker sites are legitimate. And it changed dramatically. You know, but there is still challenges out there. The main challenge now is not so much on the due diligence side. It's the knowledge side for you as the entrepreneur. When you own that website, what are you going to do to grow it? You need to have a plan in place. And that's what we teach.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that at the end, because off air, we were talking a little bit about, I am going back and forth on if I should be relatively soon, you know, real estate in Mexico, it's a very interesting market here right now, or if I should be investing my money in an online business.
Can I make a suggestion? So for your listeners' sake, Nicole, this is a perfect example, right? This is a live example. Here's how online businesses can work in your situation. So anyone listening, and Nicole, I'm not giving financial advice. I'm just having a chat with a friend, right? So for you, Nicole, I look at you're young, you're go-getter. What I would look for is what other assets do you have? So real estate's one thing. Real estate's fine. I'm not going to pretend to be a real estate, although we do look at real estate a lot. And I've got to admit, you know, in recent years, we're thinking for Liz and I and our family, we should reinvest a little bit into real estate. So I get why you do it. We've got lots of friends that are very successful with that. But for you, if I can make a suggestion, and any listener, think about this, what other assets do you have? So Nicole, you have a very successful podcast, right? All of us are listening to it. You're a travel—I would say you're a travel influencer, okay? And you've got an—and you're traveling. You've also got an awesome skill set around helping people do what you do or live the laptop lifestyle, like a lot of our clients, what the younger clients want to do in our community. So, to me, that's a money-making opportunity in an online business. What if you could combine that, which you sort of already have done with your website? So what I would be looking out for if I were you is if you've got a few skills, why wouldn't you buy a website out there that maybe has been neglected that has the traffic that's your ideal target audience already? Nicole, that's where you can make a ton of money very cheaply too. I'm not saying you don't need to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to buy these websites. By the way, you can. There's really good ones in your niche. But you could buy a rundown website and, you know, like travel bloggers all the time want to sell off their website. Maybe if they've got the sort of audience that you have, you could swoop in. So for the previous owner, they can only ever make money off AdSense clicks or whatever or affiliate offers, right? So they might be maxed out at making $2,000 or $3,000 a month. You come in and that audience, you've got another service that you can add on to there, which is yourself, and you can get that audience onto yours. That's how you could build an empire. That's how you can expand. Now, that's like M&A at the big corporate level in the old days. Well, that's still what happens now. And that's what we used to be involved in. That's why I love websites. So for someone like you, you could buy little $5,000 websites, $10,000 websites, just, you know, dipping your toe in the water with it and adding to your existing empire. And there's lots of strategies around that that you can do. But in essence, that could be something that you could do. And also with your skills in that niche. So really, you can, is the saying, you can do it. You could do both. You could still do real estate, but you might, if I were you, I would definitely look at dabbling in, hey, is there a $5,000 website I could find? I'll give you a really good example. We have one of our most successful, we have every year we have awards for who buys the best deal. And Annette is admittedly, she's a grey nomad. Do you guys know what grey nomad is? You know, retiree traveling around. It's an Australian term. So here in Australia, big country like America and Canada, when you retire, you sell up everything or you retire and you jump in your caravan and you go around. In America, I think it's called RV. So Annette's doing that and she's on a private Facebook group. And one of her fellow RVers or caravanners said, I'm selling my 15-year-old website. I'm actually retiring now. Does anyone want it? And not a single person offered anything. And Annette, having done our course, went, wow, that thing's gold. She got it for $5,000. And now that site makes about $4,000 a month. But her situation was she already had an existing travel blog that she knew she could make. She was making $2,000 to $3,000 a month off. It was kind of like a side hustle while she was building up towards retirement. And when this one came along, exactly what I'm saying to your scenario, she just went, oh, I can just add that in. And now she generates $4,000 a month off an older site. And she bought it for $5,000. Minimal risk, really, when you think about it. You know, if you own a caravan, $5,000 is probably just the insurance and stuff, you know. So pretty cool thing. So she's excited about that. And that's what she suddenly realized, oh, every so often when people sell off old assets, that's her niche now is caravanning. And so for you or any of your listeners, if you've got expertise in a certain niche, I would recommend you look around to buy little tiny low-risk websites that has the traffic in your niche and then you can monetize alternative ways. That's one of the quickest way to double the value of a website that no one else can do.
Interesting. I've never thought about that before, but I'm definitely going to think about that a little bit more because when you previously mentioned, you know, a site like Flippa, I was looking at Flippa. I feel so weird saying that word. I feel so Australian. Yeah. Flippa and Empire Flippers. And I created, you know, like a free account to kind of see what was out there and what was being offered. And I'll have to take another look at Flippa because I wasn't able to see all of that information. I do actually think at one point they said I would need to sign an NDA. So I'll have to take a look at that a little bit further.
So on Flippa, there are now, and these are the really good deals that you want to look at if you're listening to this. The deals on Flippa, some of them do require you to sign an NDA. And that's a good thing, by the way, because lots of people don't bother doing it like yourself. And that means there's not as many buyers and they're there. And then you get access to all the info. But generally, most listings on Flippa, so for you, is your niche travel? Would you say it is travel? But it's not. So, it's also immigration, isn't it?
It's more so immigration because people who are looking for, you know, a more global citizen lifestyle and to relocate somewhere are different.
Yep. So even for you, and this is good for your listeners to hear, see how I get excited. So on this immigration stuff, even the, you know, the, let's just, I've dealt with immigration like through brokers and stuff through being in M&A. And let's even say on the boring, in inverted commas, boring compliance stuff, some of those sorts of websites in what's called boring compliance stuff, they are hugely valuable if you can fix them up and sell them to corporates later on. So that's one of our big strategies. We call it the BHAG strategy. You know that corporate term, big, hairy, audacious goal, is to buy a small website, build them up and sell them for millions of dollars. And we've got examples of that. And it's everyone's BHAG. But for you and anyone listening, if you come from a white collar background, say in the legal profession, finance profession, surveying profession, you know, architect, immigration, if there's some boring compliance aspect, but it needs people to look up information about it, that is typically, they can be really good websites. So I remember the CEO of Flippa, I think it was last year at our conference, we asked him, what's your favorite deal? And he goes, you're not going to believe it. It was this, you know, the online compliance in Europe, all the rules around it. Some guy started a website in New Zealand about that and he sold it for $5 million on the Flippa platform. And like the CEO said, man, it was boring as. But so think about that. And I think, Nicole, where you get the ideas from that sort of stuff is just hang out on those broker platforms and look at other examples. I think you'll be surprised at how many in inverted commas, corporate-y sort of, you know, mundane topics that you'd never thought of. It's like around the compliance side of immigration. I'll bet if you hang out on those platforms, there will be some site that comes up somewhere. And even if you could use it as a model, you might get ideas to leverage into your existing business as well. And that's another thing that we teach. It's not just about buying online businesses. This whole world just opens up so many business opportunities when you know how to do due diligence, because then you can reverse engineer the websites that you see on Flipper, being blunt about it. Like, seriously, what if you found an immigration style compliance site for sale now, and say they want mid six figures, say they want 700,000 for it. Well, you don't have 700,000 because you're going to buy real estate. But what I would be saying to you is, okay, Nicole, if you know enough to reverse engineer it, Flipper's handed you all their analytics, keyword research, everything. So, you know, 700,000 buys you a lot of website build. Maybe you don't buy it. You just drip feed out. And okay, it's going to take a bit longer, but that's something that you can aim. And then you've got a role model for success as well. And that's the cool thing we love about this game. Once you start looking at these things, anyone listening to this, you guys probably do not realize just how much money is being made by simple niche websites. And you've got to get out there and look at them, and you will be blown away at pigeon racing. Who would think after 10 years, a pigeon racing site still makes $1,000 a month? Do the numbers on that. That's a serious sum of money, ROI. You don't get that in real estate. The risk is there, though. Real estate's different. So, you know, different investment vehicle. But
yeah, there's always a risk.
I'm passionate about this in that if you're a bit curious in life and you love the idea of having multiple side hustles over the years, that's what, you know, all of us do here. This is unreal. It's the ultimate playground, is looking at online businesses. And for you, Nicole, it would just be brilliant. It'd be a no-brainer. You've got the perfect skill set because you've got the compliance stuff, but also you are a genuine travel blogger. Far out. If you can't make serious money online over the next decade, yeah, it's perfect. For someone traveling around, it's a really cool thing to check out.
That's really interesting. So I'm curious now, you mentioned you don't necessarily have to always buy it. You can rebuild it, essentially.
Yep.
But when you are buying it, you're buying what takes a lot of time to build, which is the SEO, the blog post, the domain authority as well, the URL. So I don't know, pros and cons. What is your take on that?
I think the example I just gave is for most of our clients, what I say to them, the final question you should, so we have a big checklist when you do due diligence on a website. And then the final question, like if they're about to spend $1 million on a website or mid six figures, like 600,000, 700,000, I say to them, look, that 700,000, what are you really getting for that? Can you do that yourself with your own team? And so the pros and cons of building is actually really good. We've come back to it now. So in the old days, it was too slow for us. It was much easier to buy. But you building websites means they're kind of cooking in the background passively. Like you just come along once a month, do a bit of work on them, and you're just gently building them up over time. You can build them very clean how you want, but it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. And whereas buying them, particularly now in the current Google space with all the search engine changes, what we're looking for now is we see massive opportunities to buy either rundown sites or panic sells where people have been hit with a Google algorithm, but they've got perfectly good assets. And what we're particularly looking for is, you just mentioned the magic word, and it's really important in the travel niche, is real content, because AI content's not valuable online, no matter what people tell you. And Google have outright are showing that to us now. So we can pick up, like Nathan Alexa with their little gardening site, you know, $400. The reason it was such a bargain and such an amazing website, same as Annette with the caravanning site that she bought. These are aged sites that were actual, you know, people blogging about their real experiences. That is gold. So that's where the assets are. So it's a really tricky one to say, is it better or worse? I think it's both. But having that ability to, before you buy a website, to step back and go, all right, am I actually better off building this? Once you've got skills, often you are. So you can reverse engineer sites. And you know, don't freak out if you're listening to this in your own website. Been able to reverse engineer websites since the internet began. It's everything's, you can see everything these days. What you've got, it's all Liz used to have on her computer. A quote she read somewhere, 50 other people have had the same idea. Get over yourself. It's all in the execution. And that's what it's about. So you can find, so we've shown clients, amazing deals on Flippa. And I say to everyone, anyone could emulate that and within 2 to 3 years be making, really good money. It's all in the execution though. Do people do it? No. It's just sitting there in full view. So building sites is better if is when you're learning. We highly recommend you do learn, you build a few sites, because that's the best way to learn the true value of a website. You think of your site, Nicole, you know what your awesome travel site's worth, right? What blood, sweat and tears wise I'm talking about. So you imagine now you become an expert in trying to buy those sites on Flippa. You are way ahead of anyone else who's never built or traveled to all those countries and created that content. You know straight away the value of what might be sitting in a fellow travel blog site. Well, I should hope you do. Well, you should do now after this podcast.
What an interesting conversation. What an eye-opening conversation in the business of websites. So Matt, thank you. Where can people find you and your programs, your teachings online?
So you can go to our main website, which is a bit of a mouthful, and it's .com.au, but it's ebusinessinstitute.com.au. Or you can just Google our name. We've also got a simpler one, mattandlizrad.com.
Amazing. I checked that one out earlier. I was listening to your podcast as well. And it's
Thank you. Yeah, we've got our podcast, which is called the digitalinvestors.com. And it's really cool that most of the stories on there are our own students. So we just love interviewing our students about, so you'll see Nathan and Alexa on there and all our students. So if you're interested in hearing more of their stories, yeah, go to our podcast.
Amazing. Thank you for being here, Matt.
Thank you so much for having me, Nicole. Definitely a pleasure.
You've just listened to the Work, Wealth, and Travel podcast. If anything from this episode resonated with you, I would appreciate if you share this podcast on your socials. And of course, be sure to tag me. And don't forget to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. Thank you for joining me on this global citizen journey, and I'll see you in the next episode.